you about overcoming a victim mentality. Overcoming a victim mentality. If you want, turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 5. Now, because we live in a fallen world where there is evil and there is weakness everywhere, we all have been victims of, in one form or another, of the evil and the injustice that this world is under. Satan wants to force upon us what is called a victim mentality to keep us bound. And he knows that if we accept that mentality, we are going to be rendered useless and ineffective and present no threat to him. Now, according to an article called Overcoming the Victim Mentality, a victim mentality is nothing more than a learned personality trait in which a person feels unable to cope or to take action in difficult situations. This person tends to see themselves, they say, as the victim of the negative actions of others and continues to feel this way even after the negative situation or actions are no longer real or prevalent. A person with a victim mentality, listen to this, remains trapped to the wrong or the abuse done to them even after the negative event is over. The article says that a negative or painful event, or any negative or painful event, can make us feel pain and can open in us a victim mentality. The victim mentality becomes a coping mechanism by which we try to numb the pain and the suffering that we feel. And it's also something that we use to manipulate people and situations and meet our need for safety, to feel love, and to have a sense of belonging. Now, as I bring this sermon to you this morning, I want to say this. Please don't think of me as being insensitive to your pain or suffering. I understand how certain childhood experience and even adult painful events can stick with you for the rest of your life, no matter how hard you try to get rid of them. There are some experiences that you never forget, and they trigger a lot of different emotions as you go through life, even as an adult. I'm not trying to undermine here this morning the real pain that some of us may feel. But what we're saying, or what I believe, is this. There comes a point of closure with the grace of Jesus Christ. Eventually, we all need to make a choice. And it's this. Is what happened to me just a painful experience? Or am I going to allow what happened to me to define me and to control me for the rest of my life? Because if we allow what happened to us to define us and to control us, we are going to be living in bondage to the day that we leave this earth. And we will always be stuck into what is called a victim mentality. And we will always be trapped in our past. We all have to face this choice one day. We can take on the victim mentality and live in the misery of defeat. Or we can break from the victim mentality and walk in the freedom that Jesus already won for us in the cross of Calvary. Galatians chapter 4. Verse 3 and 6 says that Jesus Christ died on the cross, born of a woman, born under the law. And he came to redeem those who were under the law. In other words, church, God has called all of us to walk in the freedom that Jesus won for us already in the cross. He wants us to walk free from what is called a victim mentality. Now, what I want us to do this morning as we talk about this subject is I want us to look at the signs of a victim mentality. The signs of a victim mentality. In John chapter 5, if you want to turn there with me this morning, Jesus found a man with a victim mentality. He was by a pool where he and many others, the Bible says, lay sick day after day from various sicknesses and diseases. And the location in the Bible is called Bethesda, the pool of Bethesda. And it's a sign that they believe at the time there was an angel who will come down and stir up the waters. And when the angel will touch the waters, the first person to jump in the water was healed instantly by whatever disease they had. That was the belief at the time. And this man was given an amazing opportunity one day. And that is Jesus, God incarnated in the body of a man, the healer, the savior of the world, walked up to him one day and offered him the opportunity to be set free and be healed from that condition. In John chapter 5, verse 6, it says there that Jesus saw him laying there. And he knew that he already had been in that condition for a very long time. And he looked at him and said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" Now, for many of us, especially according to modern standards, it might seem that Jesus is being uncaring or insensitive to the pain and the suffering of this man. But he cuts right to the heart of the matter and he asks the man this question: "Do you really want to be healed?" And as we explore this conversation this morning, from this story, I believe that we can identify some of the indicators and some of the symptoms of a victim mentality. Number one, people with a victim mentality use their tragedy as a way to get sympathy, as an excuse to stay in bondage. They use their tragedy, they use what happened to them as a way to get sympathy, as an excuse to stay in bondage. Jesus asked the man one question. Let's look at it again in verse 6. He says, "Do you really want to be made well?" Now let's look at the man's answer in verse 7. The sick man looked at Jesus and answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I'm coming, another steps down before me." Now Jesus asked a very simple question. The man just needed to answer a yes or a no answer. But when you have a victim mentality, you cannot answer that way. Because answering yes will mean that from that point on, you will need to take responsibility for how you act and the choices that you make. And if you say no, you're going to look foolish to the crowd that was around you. So instead of giving Jesus a very straightforward yes or no answer, he gives Jesus a story and reasons why he hasn't been able to get into the pool. Now, let's be real, folks. If he really wanted to be healed, he would have done anything to get into that pool. You see, desperation pushes you into action. When you really, really, really want something, you would do whatever it takes to get that. I love computers. And about a couple of years ago, I wanted to get an Apple computer. I am an Apple fan. Yes, I have no shame of saying it. And they are very costly because they are the best computers. But I wanted to get that computer no matter what. And you know what I did? I began to do whatever I needed to do to save the money to be able to get that computer. When you really are desperate about something, when you really want something, you are going to do whatever it takes to get that. So if he really wanted to be healed, he would have done anything to get in the pool. I think that if I would have been this man, I would probably offer payment or money to someone in the pool to get me in the pool. And I would have told them this, you know, when I get healed and I am well and I am able to work, I'm going to get a job and pay you back the money. But right now, please do whatever you need to do to get me into that pool so I will receive my healing. But instead, this man is so bound to a victim mentality that he gave Jesus a story. Now, don't get me wrong. Let's not miss what's going on here. The man did have a painful story. He was in a very painful condition. In the same way that the majority of us this morning, if I would go across and interview you, I would say that the majority of us this morning have a painful story inside. Something where we can use and find thousands of reasons why we haven't been able to walk in victory, to walk in freedom, and to walk in the joy of the Holy Spirit. But Jesus gave this man the chance to change his painful story into a good story, into a testimony of healing, of freedom, and resurrection through the power of the Holy Spirit. It is the same chance, folks, that Jesus is offering you and I here today. But we need to ask ourselves this question. Do we really want to be healed? Do we really want to be set free from the pain of our past? Jesus wants to change the story that you have inside into a story of healing, into a story of love, into a story of restoration that is going to lift up the name of Jesus Christ in your life. Are you willing to allow him to do that in your life? I have been myself through some painful events in my life, especially my childhood. I admit that for a very long time, I used my story, I used my tragedy as a way to gain sympathy and excuse my behavior. And it's not hard to do this when you know that by sharing your story time after time, you can get the sympathy of people. And they can validate how much you have suffered and how much you have been through. But eventually, folks, I found this out. Eventually, people, even your loved ones, don't miss this. Even the people that are closest to us. Eventually, people get tired of hearing our story time after time. Over time, people with a victim mentality, they end up losing relationships, even precious relationships. Why? Because the blaming stories and the negativity one day gets old. And the people closest to you begin to feel uncomfortable. They begin to feel manipulated. And they get drained of hearing the same story from us day after day, years after years, and month after month. Regardless of what painful events we have been through, we owe it to ourselves, we owe it to our children, we owe it to our family, and we owe it to our friends to find and look for healing in Jesus. Look for freedom and restoration in the love and in the grace of God. Number two, another symptom of the victim mentality is that they want healing. People with a victim mentality, they want healing, but with no personal effort and very little participation. They have what is called an entitlement mentality. In John chapter 5, verse 5, it tells us that the man had this condition for 38 years. How long? 38 years. And Jesus saw him laying there. And he knew that he had been in that condition for a very long time. And Jesus is giving this man the chance to be free and to have a better life. But the question is, do you really want to be healed? Now, this condition, realize something. This condition gave this man certain advantages. He didn't have to work or support a family like most of us have to do. Nobody expected anything from him. For 38 long years, he had other people carry the mat for him to the temple or to the pool. placed it by the pool, and the only thing he had to do is just lay in it every day and beg for money. He had no responsibility. He didn't have to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and go to work and put up with a mean boss to earn a living. Everything was handed down to him. You see, sickness has certain advantages. Bondage has certain advantages. And once Jesus is giving him the opportunity to be free from this affliction, it meant that those advantages will be gone. I had the opportunity once to minister and talk to a Christian man. Don't try to figure out who he is, because he no longer comes to our church. But I had the opportunity once to talk and minister to a Christian man who suffers from depression. And he has serious, serious issues in his life. He is a veteran. And he also had a very difficult childhood where he had an alcoholic father. And his father left his mother and himself and his brothers and sister at a very early age. And one of the issues, or one of the ways that this emotional brokenness manifests in him, is that this man is not able to manage his finances wisely. This man gets almost $4,000 a month in government checks. He makes more than what most of us make working and sweating every day from 8 to 5. $4,000 in government check, and he's always in debt and always in financial trouble. He has been divorced several times, and he's not able of keeping a relationship because he's very, very difficult to get along with. And on a regular basis, he needs to go back to the doctor and have what is called psychiatric evaluations. And it's part of the requirements to keep his government assistance. And one day during the conversation, this man who loves God, who wants to serve God, who I believe has a call of God in his life, openly admits this to me. Pastor Anna, since I've been coming to church and people been praying for me, I feel a lot better, to the point that I no longer need to drink most of the medications that have been prescribed to me for my depression. But Pastor Anna, I hope that you understand this. When I go to the doctor and I feel better, I have to hide my improvements from them. Because if I let them know that I'm getting better and that I'm feeling better, I will lose the $4,000 a month that I make right now. You see, I know that Jesus Christ wants to heal this man. I know that Jesus Christ has a purpose and a calling for this man, even in ministry. But he doesn't really want the healing, folks. You know why? Because he's not willing to give up his disability check. He's not willing to give up the benefits that he gets by being in sickness, which is sitting at home doing nothing and collecting $4,000 a month. Now, let me clarify something. I am not putting down, and I am not knocking down financial or government help. I understand and I believe that in certain cases, it is absolutely necessary. But what I'm saying is this. That is not the point. What I'm saying is that the reason why so many of us do not want to get healed, do not want to walk in the freedom and the restoration that Jesus Christ has for us, is because with the healing comes a new way of living. With the healing comes responsibilities and comes choices that we must make. Jesus told the man in verse 8, "Rise up, take up your bed, and walk." You see, his healing comes with a new lifestyle. He now has to work, and he now has to walk from now on. He can no longer depend on that mat. He can no longer depend on other people to lay the mat there and him to lay there all day just begging. He can no longer depend on that. And in today's society, there is something called what is called an entitlement mentality that is so prevailing in this society. What is an entitlement mentality, Pastor Anna? It is this. People with this mentality expect something for nothing. And they believe that people owe them something. And folks, as Christians, we must understand this morning that this is an out of balance mentality that does not align with the principles that operate in the kingdom of heaven. It is not based on the principle of giving and then receiving. It is not based on the principle that is prevalent in the kingdom of heaven that says you reap what you sow. But in order to reap and harvest, you must sow a seed. It is only about taking. Taking, give me, give me, give me, give me. Without me not having to give anything back in return. And so many folks, including Christians, place this expectation on their families, on their spouses, even on church, even on the government, folks. Many people want the healing. They want the blessing. But they don't want to do anything. They want to put no effort and take no responsibility and no part in the process that is going to get us to the blessing. Many people want the blessing. They want the healing. But they don't want to embrace what a healed life, what a victorious life looks like. That's what a victim mentality believes. A victim mentality says this to us. Rescue me. Heal me, help me, get me out of this pain, but with very little participation on my part and no effort whatsoever on my part. Number three, a third symptom of the victim mentality is people with a victim mentality, they are always blaming somebody else for the way they are. Always blaming somebody else for the way they are. I am the way I am because of my parents. I am the way I am because you don't know the spouse that I'm married to. I am the way I am because you don't know my co-workers. You don't know my friends. You don't know this. You don't know that. And they're always, always blaming somebody else for their behavior. This man blamed other people for his condition. First, he says to Jesus, look at it in verse 7. He says to Jesus, nobody takes me in the pool. And then he says in verse 7, another steps down before me. What is he doing? He's blaming others for his condition. Blaming. I'm not able to receive the healing. I'm not able to get in the waters because nobody cares to help me and nobody cares to put me in the pool. But my question to him was, what did you do about it? Did you do anything? Did you talk to anybody? Did you address the problem with anybody? Or you just sit there day after day and took and resigned to live that way? Blaming others, folks, is an easy way out of letting ourselves off the hook. We might say we want to heal. But the question that we all have to ask ourselves this morning is, can we handle the responsibility, the changes, the new lifestyle that comes with healing and freedom in Jesus Christ? And lastly, people with a victim mentality, their brain is wired for negativity. Their brain is wired for negativity. If you listen to the conversation, and if you listen, pay attention to the answers that this man is giving to Jesus, you can see that even though this man has been sick for 38 long years, that is a very long time. Really, he had no hope. And he saw no possibility whatsoever of being healed. He said, he had this kind of mindset. I have been sick and I have been in this condition for 38 years. And I'm sure gonna die with this same sickness. There is no hope. There is no possibility. There is no way out of me, out of this problem. In spite of the fact that now he has Jesus, God incarnated in the body of a man, the healer of the world, the one that has authority over every form of sickness, disease, and situation, giving him an opportunity to be healed. Giving him an opportunity to change his life. Giving him an opportunity to be set free from that condition. But he's not able to see it. You see why? Because when we have a victim mentality, we believe the lie that we have no options. When we have a victim mentality, this is how we're going to find ourselves talking. You know, Pastor Anna, I know what you said about Jesus. I know that Jesus wants to prosper me. I know that Jesus wants to change my life. I know that Jesus wants to turn me around and give me new opportunities. But I know that this is the way I'm always going to be. I'm always being rejected. I'm always being abused. I'm always being at the bottom of everything. And this is the way I'm always going to be. This is what the victim mentality says to us. And we take this negativity, folks, everywhere we go. We take it to our marriages. We take it to church. We take it to our jobs. We take it to every relationship and every situation that we face in life. The victim mentality sees the worst in everything. Sees the worst in everything. It never sees possibility. It never embraces hope. It never embraces new opportunities. It only sees obstacles and reasons why something cannot be done. When you have someone with a victim mentality, you share with them something that God has shown with you. You share with them a vision. You share with them a desire, and they will give you a million reasons why that cannot be done. Why? Because they are bound to a victim mentality. And one of the things that victim mentality does to us is that it wires our brains and our spirits for negativity. Now that we recognize the symptoms, let's look at the steps that bring freedom from the victim mentality. Steps towards freedom from the victim mentality. Number one, we need to realize what the real problem is. Jesus wants to heal you. The Bible says that the devil came to kill, steal, and destroy. But I came, Jesus says, to destroy the works of the devil in your life. So Jesus wants to heal all of us. Jesus wants to set us free from the pain of our past. Jesus is giving us today, all of us, the same opportunity, and that is to choose life or to choose death. If we embrace a victim mentality, if we allow our past and what happened to us in our past to control us, we will sow death. But if we choose life today, if we choose Jesus today, if we choose to believe the word of God and to apply and honor the word of God everywhere we go, the promise is, I am going to give you life, I am going to give you healing, and I am going to set you free. But the first step to receive that blessing is we need to realize what the real problem is. All change begins by accepting the truth. Accepting the truth, acknowledging the problem for the real reason is the first step towards healing. When we go to the doctor and we have a condition, and we go to the doctor and we sit there and the doctor asks us, why are you here this morning? And you say, I'm fine, I don't know why I'm here. What is he going to be able to do for us? Absolutely nothing. We're going to leave the doctor's office in the same condition that we came in. But when we go to the doctor's office and Jesus Christ is the doctor of doctors, and we say, God, doctor, I need help because I have this sickness, I have this pain, and I cannot tolerate it anymore, then the doctor is going to use all of his wisdom, all of his knowledge, all of his experience in treating us from that condition until we are healed from it. The same applies in the spirit world. All change begins by accepting the truth. You are in a spiritual doctor's office this morning. You are in the doctor that is able to cure and heal every single disease. But in order to receive that healing, we must come before Jesus with open hearts. And we must tell him exactly where it's hurting. We must allow him to show us exactly where the problem is and allow his healing hand to touch exactly where it's hurting. When you recognize yourself as someone who's holding on to a victim mentality, and you admit and you're able to see how it's holding you back in life, how it's holding you and robbing you from all the blessings that God has for you, from all the joy, all the peace, and all the prosperity that God has for all of us, then and only then, you will take the first step towards freedom. And in the process of looking at your pain and opening your heart before God this morning, you might find that there's people that we need to forgive. If there is anything that is going to hold progress and healing in your life, it's unforgiveness. If there is anything that is going to hold healing and progress in your life, it's holding on to a root of bitterness and resentment. But with the grace of God today, we can come boldly before the presence of a loving and gracious God. and say, here is my heart. Here is my pain. Here is my condition. And Lord, yes, I want to heal and I want to be set free from the pain of my past. But I admit that I have been holding on for too long to a victim mentality. So number one, we need to realize what the problem is. Number two, we need to take responsibility for our actions, friends. Romans chapter 14, verse 12 says it this way. Then each of us shall give account of himself to God. Now, don't miss what it's saying there in the scripture. All of us, say all of us, without exception, will come before the presence of Jesus Christ one day. Whether it will be through rapture or whether it will be through natural death. All of us. Now, I want you to think something. When that moment comes, and I'm not saying if, because the moment will come. That moment will come for all of us. When that coming moment comes, your spouse is not going to be there next to you. Your parents are not going to be there next to you. Your pastors are not going to be there next to you. That is going to be a moment between you and you alone and Jesus Christ. And one day he's going to ask us all this question. What did you do with the life I gave you? What did you do with the truth and the revelation that I gave you one day about me, about my love for you, about my power, and how there is healing, and that is how there is restoration, and how there is freedom in my name? What did you do with that truth? And what are we going to say? I heard the promise. I heard the testimonies of the amazing things that you have done in people's life. But God, what I did was that I chose to hold on to the pain of my past. I chose to embrace a victim mentality. And rather than receiving your freedom and your healing, I walked in defeat and I walked in bondage all of my life. Oh, what a sad moment that's going to be. But are we going to say, Lord, thank you. Because I was abused as a child. I was mistreated by my friends, by my husband, by my society. But Jesus, I thank you because one day I heard about you. One day I heard about your love for me. One day I heard about the power of the Holy Spirit. And I did everything that you asked me to do. And because of that, I'm coming before you this morning, healed and prosper and set free. Which of the two is going to be our answer, church? Do not allow your story. Do not allow your past to be an excuse for your behavior today. Let's all take responsibility for our words. Let's take responsibility for the choices that we make in this life, for our behavior, because nobody else can do that for you. Nobody else can do that for me. The prodigal son is a very good example of someone else in the Bible. There were many people in the Bible who had a victim mentality, in addition to this man at the pool of Bethesda. The prodigal son was someone else that had a victim mentality. And he fell into the trap of a victim. But one day, as we read the end of the story ended up in restoration, in healing, and in forgiveness. Why? Because he took responsibility for his actions. In Luke chapter 15, verse 17, it says there, if you want to go there with me. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare? And look at how many times he says the word I, if you want to highlight that in your Bible. He says, I perish with hunger. He didn't say, I am perishing because my father threw me out of the house. He says, I perish with hunger. And then he makes a decision. He says, I will rise and go to my father and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned. Highlight how many times he's using the word I. Meaning he took full responsibility of his choices and his behavior. And he says, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. And because of that, the restoration of Jesus Christ, the healing of Jesus Christ was manifested in his life. And God was able to return everything that he lost one day because of his poor choice. What am I saying? Church, it is time that we grow up in Jesus. We can no longer be children in Jesus Christ. It is time that we grow up and we say, I will take responsibilities for my actions. I will no longer use my story as an excuse for the way that I behave, for the words that I speak, and the choices that I make. Number three, shift your focus from self and become kingdom focused. Become kingdom focused. And as Christians, this is one of the hardest things to do. I am amazed to see how many of us know Jesus, have a relationship with Jesus, know the power of the Holy Spirit, know the Word of God, but we still have a mindset that is about self and not about kingdom. But church, our minds need to be renewed by the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. So we need to change our focus from self and become a people that has a kingdom mindset, that is focused on the kingdom and no longer on the self. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, Jesus says this, and it's an amazing piece of wisdom. He says, seek first the kingdom of God. In other words, put God first in your life. Put God first in your marriage. Put God first in your family. Put God first in your finances. When you make your time and when you make your weekly schedule, make sure that you put time for me first. Because when you do that, all the things shall be added unto you. In other words, there is an amazing promise in that passage of scripture, and it's this. When we put God first, he will give you everything that you need. But we do the opposite. We say, I need money, so let me work 50 hours a week, and if I have time, I go to church. We say, I need God to restore my marriage, so therefore let me give all my time to my spouse, all my time to my children, and if I have 1 hour left at the end of the month, I'll give it to God. And we're trying to give ourselves the things that we need ourselves. And what happened when we do that? Sadly, we're going to end up finding out this. We're going to fail. We're going to fail. When we do not put God first, our health is going to fail. When we do not put God first, our marriages are going to have struggle. Our kids are going to have problems. Everything is going to be wrong when God is not the first priority in our life, folks. But when we say, me and my house shall save the Lord, and God is going to be number one priority in my life, then we activate this promise. And the promise is this, whatever you need, whatever, money, healing, restoration in your marriage, restoration of your children, whatever it is that you need, I will give it to you, says the Lord. So if I am to break free from my past, I must begin to shift my focus from self on Jesus. As I become more kingdom focused, and I learn and I apply the Word of God in my life, I am going to do this. When we honor the Word of God in our life, when we learn the Word of God and we do it, then we begin to make the right choices that activate the principles of the law of sowing and reaping in the kingdom of heaven. And that is going to bring forth blessings. It's going to bring forth healing, restoration, prosperity, open doors, opportunities in our lives. And our lives are going to change by the power of the Holy Spirit. Folks, our lives are made up of a series of choices. Whatever you are dealing with today is the result of a choice that you made yesterday. Let me say that again. Whatever you are dealing with today, whatever you are reaping today in your life is the result of a choice that you made yesterday. And if you want to change your future, if you want to change your family, if you want to change your health, if you want to change your finances, it all begins by the choices that you're making today. Today, you yourself are reaping a future, are building a future. And it's based on the choices that we make today. There is a law in the Bible that says this. If we make choices according to the flesh, if we make decisions based on emotional broken, based on the pain from our past, based on the suffering and the trauma from our past, if we make choices hearing those voices, then we are going to reap death. We are going to reap death. But on the other hand, the promise is this. If you make choices honoring my word, honoring the principles that you are learning in church, from now on, your choices are based on that wisdom, then you're going to reap life, you're going to reap blessings, and you're going to reap prosperity in the name of Jesus. Can we give hope a praise this morning? It's all about choices. Lastly, we must give thanksgivings to Jesus. We must give thanksgiving to Jesus. Church, your past, whatever has happened to you in your life, good and bad, is no longer your life. Your past is not who you are. Whatever happened to you in your past is not who you are. Today, the Bible says that because you have surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. And then it says, all things have passed away. They're no longer part of your past, of your life. They do not define you. They do not have to control you. Now you have a new life in Jesus Christ. And you have so many blessings and so many people that you can be grateful for this morning. What can you give thanks to God for this morning? What people has God sent into your life that are blessing you? Open your eyes. Because sometimes we allow the pain of our past to blind us. We allow the story, the painful story that we carry inside, to blind us to what God is doing, to what God is giving us now today. And today, your past is not who you are, and it does no longer have to control you. But I have to invite you to open your eyes to what God is doing in your life now. To open your eyes to all the blessings and all the prayers that God is answering in your life now. To open your eyes to the calling and the purpose that God has in your life now. Others might have abused you. Others might have rejected you. But God will never reject you. You are not a coincidence. You are not an accident. And God has an awesome purpose with your life, church. Open your eyes to what God is doing in your life now and all the blessings that he's giving you. God has called us to walk in freedom. Jesus did not die on the cross. Jesus did not shed his blood to leave you in captivity, to leave you in bondage, and to leave you in pain. He died on the cross. And he shed his precious blood so that today, through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the grace of God and the authority that we have in the name of Jesus, we can all walk in freedom, church. Today, through the grace of God, through the person and the power of the Holy Spirit, we can break free from the victim mentality. We can be overcomers. In the name of Jesus. And we can leave our past behind us. And the question that Jesus asked this man that day, and I believe is asking us to this morning, is this. I want to heal you. There is nothing impossible for me. I can raise you up. I can give you opportunities that others have denied you. I can shine. My glory can shine in your life. I can fix your marriage. I can fix your finances. I can fix your family. But the question is, do you really, really want to be healed and walk in that freedom?